Blog Talk Radio.
What I've been enjoying doing all my life. For my little girl, I always loved messing with my sisters. They had beautiful hair. And I always enjoyed doing this.
Callie Terrell loves making women look and feel good.
I feel good. Now when I do it again, make me pay more.
Mrs. Terrell now only works to keep busy and to satisfy a few longtime customers like her daughter, Inez. She's 99 years old and anxiously awaiting her 100th birthday in November.
Well, if I give out my birthday to people, you have to pay for it. November 26th.
How old will you be?
100. How about that?
Her zeal for life is amazing, and so is her work ethic. WRAG checked the state of Tennessee, and they first issued her license to operate on January 30th, 1945. She rents space in a salon now, but once had her own thriving business. She's outlived almost all of her customers.
People my age that I used to buddy-buddy with, I don't have a single one. I was in a bridge club. I'm the only one in the club that's living.
Work is part of her secret to longevity.
I'm not used to just being up in the house. See, I work so long. I've just been around people. So I enjoy being with people and doing something exciting.
Most old people is so dry and droll. I can't deal with that. I got to live. I do the things that make me happy.
Working brings her joy, but she plans to finally retire at the end of the year. But she says, don't expect to find her sitting around the house doing nothing.
I just be waiting on somebody to call and say, Callie, you dancing? I said, no, what is it? Well, come on over here. We doing so-and-so. And I jump in the car and go, just want to do something.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
We were good, we were cold. Kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't. Built a home and watched it burn. I didn't want to leave you. I didn't want to lie. Started to cry but then remembered I can buy myself flowers. Write my name in the sand. Talk to myself for hours. Say things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing. And I can hold my own hand. Yeah, I can love me better than you can. Can love me better. I can love me better, baby. Can love me better. I can love me better. Pay my bills. cherry red, match the roses that you left. No remorse, no regret, I forget every word you said. Ooh, I didn't wanna leave, baby, I didn't wanna fight. Started to cry, but then remembered I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand. Ooh, talk to myself for hours, say things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing, yeah, and I can hold my own head. Yeah, I can love me better than you can. Can love me better, I can love me better, baby. Can love me better, I can love me better, baby. Can love me better, I can love me better, baby. Can love me better, I can love me better, baby.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hunt. Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I have an incredible show ahead, of course. I'm Carrie Hines, and as always, Fan Day Fridays are my favorite day of the week. Really is. It's a great time for us to kind of have a focus on a very special guest, of course, which today is no exception. That's coming up in our third hour, in our spotlight hour at 8 a.m. Eastern. And that's, in addition to that, we have some great, amazing mid-show chat with your program hosts. And then, of course, in this first hour, we're always looking and digging into our vaults and kind of bringing back some recent items that we think that you want to hear, and plus other items that you have told us to kind of replay. So always excited, great music, and just some interesting hair and beauty talk. Again, remember, Hair Radio is all about hair, beauty, and community. And then following our entire broadcast today and over the weekend, please don't forget to visit our 24/7 streaming radio network. It's at afrolockmagazine.com, and there you will be able to listen all weekend to some of our recent content and so much more. Great music, great discussions at AfroLockMagazine.com, which at the top you'll see there is a radio arrow that plays. So listen, sit back, well, grab your coffee first, sit back and just enjoy today's show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
One of the things I want to do with the veterans is I want to go out into the community, and I want to help more veterans, especially a lot of our veterans that unfortunately are homeless or they have some other issues that no one has reached out to them. That's one of my goals, is I want to reach out to veterans like that, because many times I see that those are the veterans that actually have disabilities, and no one has reached out to them to help them. Many times, a lot of those veterans don't have to be homeless because they have disabilities that can be rated by the VA, and they could also fit into a lot of government programs that are geared towards veterans. I just want to go and get the word out to those veterans so that we can have less homeless veterans on the streets and in shelters. And we can do what we're supposed to do as a military community. We can help our other veterans. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. That's what's in store for me.
For me, on the Hair Radio Morning Show, is just using this platform to expound on just all of the people that I reach. And mainly that is girls, women. It's everyone, but my focus is on girls and women of all ages, the youth in our community, health, because our health is our wealth. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. So focusing on our health and our wellness, our beauty, our family connections that are so, so, so very important. Family is the core of everything. And then also, Carrie, just continuing my civic responsibilities and just letting people know how very, very important it is to be a voice. Be a voice in your community. Be of service to people, because that's what it's all about. You will definitely be rewarded when you are of service to other people. It will come back to you and bless your life abundantly. Just letting people know, just inspiring them, like with the hope of the day, continuing that, and just continuing to encourage, to uplift, and just let people know how important they are. It's important who you are and you realizing how important you are and just how much you matter.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Carrie Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Carrie Hines.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge, and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very, very special guest joins us again for the first time in a very, very long time. It is my great honor to welcome NAHA Award winner and so many other things. We're talking about the legendary Miss Francesca Rivetti. Good morning to you. Good morning and welcome back.
Oh, good morning and thank you so much for having me back.
Well, it is a great honor. Listen, I just want to remind everybody, you are out and about. You're always a part of the scene. You've been a big part of this community and doing hair and being a part of this whole process. What does it mean when people call you a legend and all the things that you have done out there? How does that make you feeling?
Yeah. I know. It actually, like, makes me teary, but not in a sad way, in an elated way. You know, that just everything is paying off. You know, what I do first and foremost out of love and passion. I don't always have an end goal in mind. Like, I don't always have, for instance, an end goal to submit to NAHA, but why not? If anybody knows me, you know I love to create photo shoots. I love to come up with the idea, and then it's in your brain, and then next thing it's on paper, and then next thing it's happening, it's real, and then you see it in print, and then, you know, you possibly enter it into a competition, and hopefully you get nominated, and hopefully you win. So I just love the whole concept of photo shoot. I love to teach it. I'm actually currently working with a team.
Really?
We're creating a collection which we're super excited about, and we're actually doing the shoot next month. So it's been a 6-month process. But definitely one thing I've learned, Carrie, over the years.
Yes.
Is plan. Prep.
Yes.
I'm lucky. I'm one of those hairdressers that I can literally pull things out of my you-know-what and create. But I don't think that's always, like, when you want to create a collection, you really have to plan it out. That was my challenge always. It was the planning part. Because then I've got 1,000 ideas that come through my mind. So,
yeah.
But I love to, you've seen some of my crazy hair pieces, like one collection made out of mops.
Yes. I love that. Now, yeah, what is that? They, now, that's not – now, okay, so you walk us through this, Francesca Rossetti, yeah, my guest today. Now, there is the fantasy hair, but this may not be that. What is a good way to kind of bring that into focus for folks? What is it called? What is that? It's not avant-garde, I don't think.
I submitted it into the avant-garde category for Nahai.
That was my first
guess. If our listeners don't know, Nahai means North American Hairdressers Award, which, as you know, Kerry, is the Oscars,
right,
of our industry.
Exactly.
So it's like
them
de la creme. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what we're working on, just so that I've never announced this, so you're getting it first today, Francesca.
Ooh.
You are learning along with our fans. I am creating our wonderful Hair Radio Hall of Fame. So
ooh,
we are having our own version of this that recognizes legendary artists like yourself and all those others who are out there and done so much to contribute to this incredible industry that we love. And on top of that, now, Francesca, you will be helping us to bring some of these folks to the mic. You will be sharing some space on our broadcast and just keeping us informed, kind of like just out and about. You go to everything. You're part, you're a big part of this business. So,
I've got a lot of this year, next year, going on a hair cruise that's happening in May 23.
Wow, okay.
And,
sailing
from, it's a Mayan soul cruise sailing from Miami. It's a five-day, but it's education, days at sea will be educational days. And to our listeners, we will also be doing a photo shoot at the end of that to submit to Naha as a team event.
Well,
so,
I'm loving this. You've got to cover all of these because June and July, all of these months, the summer months, these are big, big times for us. And so everybody's listening to you and just loving this. So, folks, now how can we get folks to go to your social media and just follow you and all that stuff? And of course, you'll be able to connect through Hair Radio, but how can they follow directly with you?
Instagram would be the best social media platform, and that's my full name, Francesca Rossetti _ Hair Art. So that's, do you want me to spell it out?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, it's FRANCESCA. RIVictory _ Hair Art. That's me on Instagram. Otherwise, my website is my full name, francescarovetti.com. And
Hair Radio.
Andrew Hair Radio,
yes, and we love that. Listen, Francesca, it's always a pleasure. Listen, we are looking forward to these ongoing reports. And we're excited, and we just welcome you with open arms. It's been a long time, way too long. And I was thinking one day, I said, we got to get Francesca back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've just got to.
I'm so
happy.
Reach out.
Yes,
I'm
of course.
I'm going to say hello to all of our listeners, and we'll be bringing you amazing content in the very near future.
All right. Well, on that note, you've heard it from Francesca Rossetti directly right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Folks, stay with us. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more to go. Stay with us.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hoskins. And I'm Kerry Hines right here on the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9:00 in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day.
Have you been feeling like you're getting the short end of the stick when it comes to reading stories about our community? Well, I have. And so I'm glad to tell you that you should be subscribing to AfroLock Magazine at AfroLockMagazine.com. AfroLock Magazine is a great new monthly publication that really does unlock the richness and complexity of Black culture truly from the only perspective that matters. ours. So, subscribe today at www.afrolockmagazine.com and be connected. Afrolock Magazine. We're making black progress together.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very, very special guest joining us today. He's a legendary hairstylist. It is my great honor to welcome to the show for the very, very first time, Mr. Eugene Davis. Good morning, and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure. Now, yes, I mean, this is exciting for us. First of all, you've been in this hair and industry for a very long time. So we're going to count some years. So for like 30 years, if not more. So tell us about your journey.
Okay, well, it's been 30 plus some years now. I started when I was about 19 in the hair industry. When I first came out of cosmetology school, of course, I started assisting. And I started assisting for someone who worked for Saucine Carlson back in the day when we were doing Café Curl, Wave Nouveau, and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was a weave master. So this was my introduction into commercial hair and my introduction into texture, taking one texture and creating another texture. And I just thought it was amazing. And my passion and my love grew for hair at that point and developed very quickly. I went on from there. I was in upstate New York. That's where I went to school at for cosmetology, and I lived upstate in Albany during this time. As my skills started to grow, I ended up coming to New York City quite a bit because I had a friend who worked at A&S when it used to be, I think, on 34th Street or 35th Street in Manhattan. And during that time, a lot of really good makeup artists worked for A&S, and they were doing photo shoots. So one of my friends called me, who was a makeup artist, and said, "Hey, we got a shoot. We need you to bring down some Afro wigs." And I was like, "Afro wigs? Okay, whatever. Let me bring them down." So I brought them down. We did the shoot, and the photographer really liked me and said, "Would you be interested in doing more stuff?" But at that time, where I was at, I was just about working in the salon. I didn't think there was another path or another career in this industry. So the next time the photographer called me down, and the next time I came down with my friend, they introduced me to a makeup artist named Sam Fine. Me and Sam Fine hit it off very well, and he introduced me to quite a few people. And the rest was history. Before I knew it, I was shooting. Before I knew it, I had moved back downstate to New York City. I lived in Brooklyn. And then from there, I started to just word of mouth at that time, because there was no social media. People were calling me, and one of my first big jobs for, I guess, an artist at the time that I got through a company called Mecca. Mecca Clothing Line was around at the time.
Yes.
And they were managing, one of the guys was managing Adina Howard. So,
yes.
So I got
that was a Freak Like Me song, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love
exactly.
That. Yeah.
That was my first album cover.
Wow.
And from there, he introduced me to Deborah Martin, who was my became my agent, and she was like one of the top, black-owned agencies at that time. She had the legendary Tippi Shorter was on the roster.
Wow.
DeAndre Michaels, who is Mary J. Blige's and Angela Bassett's makeup artist, so we had Chris Maldonado who died with Aaliyah on the plane.
Wow.
He's also on the roster. So So there was there was so many more. Then we had Nzinga Gums, who was and originally Little Kim, Mary, so many Aaliyah, so many at that time. She was a makeup artist. So with those kind of connections, it just kind of spread like wildfire. How I got into the industry pretty innocently, didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I loved to do hair. And I knew that I'd love to see it when the videos came out. So then to sum it up, with Deborah Martin, she booked me for my a video that just set it off in the industry, the hip-hop music industry for me, where I just was constantly being booked and coming up with images. And it was One More Chance by Biggie Smalls.
Oh,
Did not know who Biggie Smalls was at the time. Had no clue that this many artists would be in that video, but it was the door opening to the rest of my career when it came to celebrity hairstyling and getting my foot in the door on that aspect, on that level. Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about your story. And just in general, when it comes to working with what I've found in my little experience with the celebrity connects and contacts, is that once you have a successful experience with one or a couple, boy, they pass you around like your name, you know, real quick.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, they
do. I love it.
Yes. They do, and it was great, because then that just opened me up to more bigger productions. From doing Biggie Smalls, I got to know Faith Evans, and then they introduced me to Little Kim, and I got to do her first album cover and all of her first initial videos. And then with Ladies Night video we did in Miami, I got on board with TLC. I got on board with Changing Faces, Queen Latifah, Total. It was just, the list just went on and on and on and on and on. And I was working, and I was having a great time, and I was young, and I was just like, wow. But in that time, too, looking in hindsight, or looking back, or even speaking to my younger self, I wish I was that person that I am today to say, okay, you have this going on, it feels good, but what are you going to do in the future? How do you capitalize on this for the future? And so although it looked glamorous, I'm going to keep it real. It had its downfall, because there was a lot of things that went along with sustaining that kind of energy all the time, or just being a part of something that I hadn't been exposed to before, I was now exposed to. And there was a lot of parties.
What things like what? We want to hear that. Like, what kinds of things might you not,
Well, like alcohol. Drugs.
Okay.
All these things were a part of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even with a lot of the young people, when it comes to, like, being insta-famous and doing these celebrities and stuff, it's still there. It hasn't changed. That beast has not changed. But it's about how you navigate yourself through it and how and even if you fall, or even if you fall into those things that are around you and you get involved into them, there is a way out. And so in my career, I had a time when addiction, alcohol, became a problem. I didn't see it as a problem, but it was by God's grace that when at some point I recognized, and I was like, this is not normal. You know what I mean? You wake up, you reach over for a bottle, you take a swig, and then you keep it moving. Like, that's not normal. I wasn't brought up like that, but yet I was in it. So I had to make decisions. So in that time, I made a decision that this is not what I wanted. I needed to get out. And then after Chris had died with Aaliyah on the plane crash, was just something that just changed, because he was a very good friend of mine. So it just kind of changed how I saw things. I figured we were living too fast. Like, what is the cost of being a celebrity hairstylist? You know what I mean? So I had to challenge myself and say, can I leave this part of the industry and still excel and still find my and still have my voice and still find a way to do what I love, but also help others so they don't get caught into these traps.
Absolutely.
Where I am.
No,
today.
Go ahead, please.
Yes. Well, when it comes to go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Eugene, I'm loving every single thing. I'm just passionate. So please finish your thought. So today, where you are today is what you were about to say. So please.
Yeah. So where I am today, my passion is about just giving knowledge to a younger generation, or even giving knowledge to those who have been behind the chair, or those who have been in the industry, or those who are Instagram famous. You have to think about your future. You have to come to a place of reality and find your voice. You know, you don't have to, be in the midst of celebrity and feel like that is all there is, and you get caught up. And many, many, many people who I know personally who got caught up in that, and their health failed because of addiction. Their health failed because of drugs. Their health failed because of disease. That we were losing so many great people because that lifestyle perpetuated to do these certain things in order to stay relevant. And I think my information that I give now, because I've come through that storm, is you don't have to. You can find other ways. And now with the internet and social media and stuff, you can definitely find a way to find your relevance or your positioning in this industry. And I'm a testament to that. You know, I retired my chair about 6 years ago when I left England to come to America. And
yes.
I had to refocus and find out what I wanted to do. And what I really wanted to do is really educate the consumer, but also educate the artists that are out there and more ways than one. Not only do I want to show them old school techniques, you know what I mean? Because that has gotten lost. Mm-hmm. Everybody uses a flat iron for everything, which is
it's true.
Doesn't make sense. Right, you know, there's so many an arsenal of tools, and we just use one. Like, come on now, that's why everybody's mm-hmm. thinking the same. So we need to get back to. So my voice is getting back to understanding product and what it does when styling, and customers understanding when purchasing. What product are you purchasing? Why are you purchasing? What is your hair type like? You know, so we can save money on when we're buying. So it's like right now, I'm really all about holding the industry accountable.
Yeah.
Holding ourselves accountable, educating each other, and understanding, especially in the Black community, the value of our dollar, the power behind our spending when it comes to the hair care and beauty industry. We spend so much money, more than any other demographic. And yet we don't have the control. So I guess in everything that I'm doing, to sum it up, is I'm about empowering others, whether you are stuck somewhere, whether you're trying to get somewhere, whether you need to understand technical, or whether you need to just support. I think that's my voice. I want to help whoever wants to be helped and to direct them, so maybe they won't make some of the mistakes that I made, although on paper it looks great. But there was a struggle in there, which to today, and I've come through that fire.
Wow. Well, let me just say this, Eugene. Let me just catch everybody up, because this is an incredible story that you shared with us today, and I'm just loving every part of it. You're helping so many people with your journey and your story here. First, folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in to the broadcast, you're listening to an incredible story from a first-time guest today. So I'm so grateful that he is sharing this incredibly personal story with all of the listeners and hope to really reach out and connect on that level. This gentleman is truly a legendary stylist, as you've just heard, with all of his amazing connections. It's almost not enough just to say a celebrity stylist or this. No. There's a person behind it, as you've just heard. So let me just officially welcome back Eugene Davis. I have to say, I'm just blown away at this because I've interviewed a lot of folks on this show, of course. We've had a lot of stylists and people work with everybody. But I've never heard it communicated in that way. And to talk of challenges with addiction and things of that nature that we need to talk about and have those conversations, and they have to hear it from someone who may have gone through and or have gone through and, you know, have gone through to the other side. I so appreciate you, you know, not being shy about communicating that because it's helping people. Today, you're making a difference. So I thank you. It just warms my little soul and spirit, Eugene. So thank you so much for that. Okay, I really need that. Okay, so now I've got to tell everybody about this. I love your website. So let me just tell everybody I love it, okay? So I'm going to have you to tell everybody what your website is, and then we're going to talk about what I saw there. So just fill everybody in, Eugene. What is your website address so folks can find you?
Okay, my website address is www.eugenedavis.hair. And on my website, you can find all the information about me, about a lot of the accomplishments that I have had through my career. And I also have a portfolio of images along with some videos of stuff that I do. But I also update my log, which is like a blog, but they call it a log. I update it pretty much every day or every other day with helpful insight into the industry. If you are a consumer or you are a professional hairstylist, I supply information, tips and tricks, and just like even some questions when I challenge the industry for their accountability.
Well, I have to say this. I just love this. I want to ask you a couple of questions because when I saw there, I want you to tell the folks. I certainly have a clue what you mean, but for folks who may not. So when you say fabric of hair expert, what do you mean? And let me also say this. On his website, he goes on, fabric of hair expert, product to consumer educator, which I personally love, creative director, wig pioneer, doesn't get any better than that. So please tell us about some of these wonderful, wonderful aspects of the spectrum that you're on. So so when it comes to fabric of hair expert, what is that all about?
Okay. When I say fabric of hair expert, it is a brand or something I coined that I am because I didn't want to keep saying I was a black hair expert or I was a – don't say you're a white hair expert or I'm a Chinese hair expert. You don't go to the dentist and say I got black teeth, right? I got teeth. So hair is hair to me. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to put it out there that when I present myself, I wanted people to know me, that I am a fabric of hair. Hair is a fabric. And it's something that we can work with, and we have to understand it, and we have to know the tools to create whatever we want with it. So I'm an expert in that, in every aspect of texture and every aspect, expert of product knowledge. So that's what I mean by fabric of hair expert.
Well, can I give you credit for that, Eugene, because I'm going to have to – borrow that fabric of hair line. I love it, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I've always referred to the different textures of hair as a tapestry, and that has
absolutely
always been something that I've believed in. So that fits right in with that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I think the narrative, one of the things that I started to talk about is the narrative had to change, and we have to start speaking about hair as hair. One of the things my teacher, when I was in cosmetology a long time ago, she always told me, hair is hair. And I think that's why I've never been afraid, despite the educational system that only really educate us on European, you know, European textured hair.
Right, right. Eurocentric hair.
So,
yeah. So
one of the things that I found that when I was coming, she was like, no, hair is hair. You need to know curly. You need to know zigzag. You need to know coily. You need to know wavy. And then we didn't have all of the, you know, classifications for hair types. She always taught me just approach it as hair. Once you look at the hair, you analyze it. What do you do next? Where do you want to go with it? Okay, how are you going to get there? What are you going to use to get there? And what is your finished result? What do you want it to look like? And that's how I've always approached everything that I have done.
Well, let me ask you, on a sidebar note here, you've done so much industry work, literally. I mean,
yes.
You were really in the industry, making such a contribution in the way of hair and beauty on sets and all of that. But what do you think about the argument sometimes I see on the internet where they say these days in Hollywood where there, you know, did you ever notice that there was a shortage of people of color providing services on sets and things like that that could respond to all textures of hair, even natural or what have you? Did you ever find that, or was that something that you just didn't notice during your tenure out there?
Yes, it was definitely something that I noticed all the time. I was always the only one in the room.
Wow.
But you know what? My personality, I love challenge, and I love – the fact that my mindset when I would go to places or do things or have the opportunity to come on because they had someone with texture and they needed a texture expert to come in, I use those opportunities to know the photographer, to know the creative directors, to know whoever it was in there, and let them know that, okay, this is what I do, and you can always call me for this, but I also do everything else, but, you know, so that I had an advantage, especially as a lot of people of color in England and in America started to come to the forefront and started to become celebrity, that there was a demand. And a lot of the could not meet that demand, hence where we started to step in, because we didn't have a choice but to know how to do everything. They have a choice to say, oh, I don't want to. I don't want to learn about African texture here. But it needs to be a standard where they need to know all textures so that we can go anywhere and sit in anybody's chair and have a service done, whether it be at Fashion Week, whether it be in Hollywood, whether it be at a television station, that we need to be present. And if not just us, that our white counterparts need to be held accountable so they know how to do our textures too. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So our celebrities can feel comfortable no matter where they go, because that has been so when you ask, to answer your question, it's like, yes, it has been an issue. Like, for instance, when I started doing Fashion Week, I started to see behind the scenes and who was doing things, and I saw there was a lot of models, and I saw that the black models at that time didn't get the attention or get the creative finish that the white girls with straighter hair got, because the white artist, hair stylist, didn't know what to do with their texture.
They must have felt absolutely awful, the models. You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah, well, let me give you a perfect example. I came on a fashion show with a top hairstylist. He hired me to be on his team. And I saw he had like 3 or 4 black models, but then he had his right-hand assistant who was quite average, was like, I know everything, so you go over there and do that. So I said, okay, so I'm always humble. So I started doing what I was doing, and I finished my models. And I looked behind me, and he was working on a black girl. Now, all we had to do would do is pull this girl's hair back into a ponytail and then make it quite add extension to make it sleep. He decided, now her hair was already blow dried. He decided to spray it with a water bottle. I was like, what are you doing? So, and then the model gets upset. It's like, oh, my God, I can't go out here like this. You, my hair is natural underneath. And he wasn't natural underneath, man. And it was just a whole big fiasco. So I just stepped in. I blow-dried her hair and put the ponytail and sent her on her way. And that's when I realized, wow, these people don't have a clue.
Is that
so,
not something?
Moving, wow. Go ahead. Yeah.
No,
so
I was just,
forward.
Yeah. Wow.
So
yes,
just saying, moving forward, what I started to do was, because eventually I started getting booked as the lead hairstylist, which meant that I would work directly with the designers and makeup artists to create the looks for shows. So what I would do through my travels and experience, I would build teams between America and London with people that I knew understood all textures. So then if I had a team of seven hairstylists, no matter who sat in our chair, we could knock it out according to what was required. And that's what I started to do. And so, again, I've always said to myself and I've said to my wife, like, you know what, I've always been one, that person who says, not even understanding, I might be the first one to do it, but just to walk through that door and say, I'm here and I'm ready. You know what I mean? And whatever the challenge is, I'm going to find a way to complete whatever it is to complete. So that has been my way throughout my career, that I'm not afraid to try something new, or I'm not afraid to take on challenges that everyone else wants to stay in the status quo. So I said, no, if this is how it is, then I need to get people who are qualified, who can do, to make not only make the designers and stuff in the show look fabulous, but also work as a team and understand that we can do this and we can all shine in this process.
Absolutely. I have to say, and you're, you know, it's been a big career. What I love that I also read about is that you had a chance to travel abroad and do quite extensive work over there and live for quite a period of time. So I'm just curious. Tell me about this whole return back to the States. Tell me the impact that, because I just know you touched everybody. You know, you did something big over the years. So tell us a little bit about that part of your journey and experience as well.
Yes,
and returning back home, of course.
Okay. Yes, I went to. I think the first time I went to England was 2009, but this was after I decided to walk away from the whole celebrity music industry thing. I dibbled and dabbled for a while, but I decided that that wasn't what I wanted to do anymore, and I needed more, and I needed to understand more, and I felt that at that point in my life and everything I had did up to there, I was just a black hairstylist. So when I would reach out to, because before fashion weeks and all of that, but before that, when I would reach out to companies like, oh, I want to, get on your team. I started getting interested in brands, and I want to do this, I want to do that. I can help teach and educate. And a lot of the brands were like, oh, no, you're a black hairstylist. I'm like, what? I'm a hairstylist.
Oh, my
God. But the industry was very segregated at that time. So just like so many artists that we know through our history, that they decided to leave America. Like, because when I was younger, I used to admire the fact that Patrick Kelly was in Paris, and he was doing so well. And then there was another designer, Willie Smith, who also went to Europe, you know, at the time. And James Baldwin, you know what I mean? There's so many great creators had to leave America or decided to leave America to not to just understand that they were great at what they did, but were they great because you are a black hairstylist, or were you great because you are a hairstylist? Were you great because you are a black designer, or are you great because you are a good designer?
Yes, go ahead. Please finish your thought. What do you think?
So going to Europe for me was a chance. Mm-hmm. I just decided one day, a friend of mine who has salons over there,
yes,
could you come help manage my salons and teach my staff? And I was like, sure. And I just went. I just
left.
My mother was like, where you going? I was like, going to England. What are you
going
to do?
I'm going to England.
No. Yep.
Wow.
So I said, I don't know, but I'm going. So I ended up going to Europe, and in that time, I saw that there was a need for education big time in the area. There were some great hairstylists and some great stylists who invested into their education, but the general was a lot of salons that didn't have. So what I did, so at some point, L'Oreal had launched Mazzani, and I got on board with L'Oreal and Mazzani, and I helped to build that brand amongst the Afro-Caribbean community in England, along with other really well-known hairstylists over in UK.
And that's a big, big community. Let me just say, I've been to England. I've been to London. I've seen it's a huge community, folks. And this is a big deal. Yes. So I am just, I'm blown away. This is some great information, great things that we can hang our hat on. And I'm kind of picturing all of this as you're describing it.
Good.
I think this, it's phenomenal to me that you've had this storied career. It's just been, you know, it's not, I know, like you said earlier, and I love what you said, because, yes, it's on paper, yes, and even, you know, in talking about it, yes, it did have a whole bunch of wonderful moments. But you've, you know, like I said, I love that you've always kept a mind in reality, it seems, with this. And, you know, and a good way to look at everything and just remember to be an inspiration to others. And that's what seems to really push through with your story today. Listen, I got to remind the folks, because every so often we get a few new listeners on, and I want to say today is my very, very special guest is joining me, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy, and I'm going to tell you why in a moment. His name is Eugene Davis, and I love your website, eugenedavis.hair, not .com, .hair. So I love that as well. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But you've just been just making such a difference in the hair and beauty world. So this is really awesome. And you connected with everybody. I mean, you've named some huge stars, Eugene. You really have. I'm like, okay, wow. So this is nice. So what is this journey? What is it, you know, what does it still mean to you? What does it mean to you, I should say, at this point? Because there, you know, it has changed, I believe, but maybe you might not think it's, or maybe you might think it's changed quite a bit or not changed so much. What are your thoughts, Eugene, today?
I do. I think the industry has changed. There's a lot that goes on now that would not have been tolerated before. So I believe now with all the diversity, the inclusion, all of the people opening up and asking questions to big corporate America about, especially in the beauty industry and the hair industry, about inclusion, about having us present. I think that's a big thing right now. And I think that we as a community, as a hair community, still need to keep our voices relevant. We need to still speak out on the injustices and inequality that we see in the beauty industry, because it's still there, and we're still knocking on doors, which we should never stop doing. But we need to stop pushing those doors open too, in order for us to let others come through. So I think where I am and in my career and everything I've done, I want to be a glass ceiling breaker. So if there's a glass ceiling, I'm going to break it. Come on, everybody, let's go. You know what I mean?
But yes,
when we get in
absolutely.
There, I'm holding you accountable to do the right thing so that you can prepare the way for the next person behind you. And that's what's so important to me. And that's where I am today. So everything I've done, everything I've touched is for someone to read it, buy it, and know that, oh, my God, I can do that. Because he did it, I can do it. You know, so,
well, Eugene,
so that's
Davis,
where my message is.
That's what I'm loving this. What is next for you?
Okay, I got a few projects in the mix, but I believe that right now I'm really concentrating.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Kerry Hines. I've got a special guest on the line, actually coming to us from the wonderful world of Hollywood out in Los Angeles, California. She is Crystal Wright. Crystal, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Kerry. I'm glad to be here.
Terrific. Well, we're happy to have you. Now, I want to tell the folks, you are the person behind this amazing book called Crystal Wright's Hair, Makeup, and Fashion Styling Career Guide, in addition to, of course, being the artistic director of the Crystal Agency.
Oh, you make it sound so good.
Well, it is good, and I want you to tell our listeners why. Tell us a little bit more about the Crystal Agency, and then we'll talk about the book.
Okay, well, the Crystal Agency represents professional makeup artists, hairstylists, and fashion stylists, and also manicurists. And as a matter of fact, if there are any good manicurists out there, we're certainly looking for one right now. But we represent makeup, hair, and fashion stylists who work behind the scenes in print, video, film, and television.
And that's such a big, 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 big field. And there's so many stylists out there, hair and makeup stylists and people in fashion, who are looking to get into this whole wonderful, wonderful world of the industry, of the entertainment industry. So I'm sure you have a lot of ideas and want to talk about that. But first, before we get to all the good stuff, and we know the listeners are just waiting to hear, how did you decide, Crystal, that this is something you wanted to do? I'm always interested in finding out what that motivation is for that individual. How did you decide that this is something you wanted to do?
Well, you know, honestly, I didn't really decide. I mean, it wasn't even anything I knew anything about.
Wow.
I was selling copiers for Xerox. I had worked at Xerox in Seattle for 2.5 years out of college.
Okay.
And then I came out to Los Angeles on a whim for a weekend because a girlfriend of mine and her husband were moving out, and they invited me. And when I got off the airplane, it was 75 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I had just moved from Seattle, Washington, where it rains 300 days a year.
That was it, huh?
That was it. I got off the plane. I said, that's it. I'm moving to California. And the next week, I came back out to L.A., interviewed at one of the branches of Xerox, and got an offer letter the week after that. It took me about 6 months to get out to California. I came out to California, started doing the same thing, selling copiers. And then I was getting very restless, thinking, well, you know, I'd always wanted to be in fashion. Should I try to get a job as a buyer at a department store like a Nordstrom or something? And I went to a party that was actually at Muhammad Ali's house. It was a networking function. And I met a photographer by the name of Bobby Holland. It was a Sunday afternoon. Met him that Sunday, went to his studio on Thursday, and quit my job at Xerox on Monday.
Wow.
To represent him.
Wow.
Just packed up all my little stuff in my Xerox memory writer typewriter and moved into Bobby's studio working there and started representing him.
Mm.
And I worked for him for 6 months, loved it. I had never been anywhere. I got to go to New York with him. I got to go to Chicago with him. He was shooting everything from the Jackson 5. Yeah, this was a long time ago.
Oh, they really were still the Jackson 5 at that time, huh?
Okay. Oh, my God. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I think they were still the Jackson 5.
Oh,
but
my.
we shot Richard Pryor for Essence magazine.
Wow.
We shot Denzel Washington the first time he was on the cover of Essence magazine.
Wow.
And I was working for Bobby, and 6 months after I started working for him, he fired me.
Oh, my.
He fired me.
But you had what you needed to have at that point to move on.
Well, we hope so, because I've been doing it now for almost 20 years.
Well, yes, and you absolutely got it.
Yeah, his makeup artist came to me and asked me if I would represent her.
Wow.
And that's how I started representing makeup, hair, and fashion style. She was my first makeup artist. Then I picked up a hairstylist. I picked up a fashion stylist, Michelle Cole, who is now a big costume designer in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started.
Wow. Well, folks, in case you've just logged in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We've got some great people that we like to introduce to you from time to time. And the person we're speaking with right now is absolutely no exception to that. Her name is Crystal Wright. Now, a lot of you out there know her already. She is the artistic director of the Crystal Agency, and her website, of course. Well, you know what, Crystal, why don't we have you tell the folks out there how to contact you?
The website for the Crystal Agency is, of course, www.crystalagency.com.
Terrific. Now, I want to go back. We had started to talk a little bit about the book, and I do mean that this is the Bible of the hair and makeup and fashion styling industry, as far as I'm concerned, and many of the other folks out there. And it's called Crystal Wright's Hair, Makeup, and Fashion Styling Career Guide. And I want you to tell the folks out there about the book.
This book, it's funny because it actually is considered the Bible. A lot of schools use the book as sort of the business part of their makeup programs. And it's used actually in New York City at the Fashion Institute of Technology at FIT.
Sure.
It's used as the textbook for their fashion styling course there and in Atlanta, at Bodder, and the International Academy of Design in Florida. And this is a book that I wrote because I used to stay on the phone all day, people calling me up asking me, you know, how do I put my portfolio together? What is meant by testing with photographers? How do I get tear sheets? You know, what's a comp card? How many images should I have? All these questions that they had about building a portfolio so they could do, you know, makeup, hair, or fashion styling for television shows and films, music videos, of course, CD covers and magazines. And the reason it's the hair, makeup, and fashion styling career guide is because hair, makeup, and styling people are completely dependent upon one another for the image that's produced.
Mm-hmm.
A makeup artist who does great makeup and is working with a hairstylist that doesn't do good hair, the only thing you produce is a bad picture. You've got to have great makeup, you have to have great hair, and you have to have great fashion styling all together. And so the book really just talks about the business aspects of working behind the scenes. You know, what size should your portfolio be? What kind of pages should it have? How many pictures do you need to have before you go out to get an agent to represent you? In a place like New York, they have over 80 or 90 agencies that just represent makeup, hair, and fashion styles, and a lot of people don't even know it.
That's right. Good point. Well, just to let the folks know exactly, because this, as we were saying, is considered the Bible in the industry. Now, your book, again, is Crystal Wright's Hair, Makeup, and Fashion Styling Career Guide. It's all you need to know about getting work behind the scenes in print, video, film, and television, working with record labels, magazines, and production companies, testing with photographers, building a strong portfolio, and signing with an agency. Now, you just mentioned, in fact, being right here in New York, you're absolutely right. I mean, I thought it was over 100 of these, type of agencies, so to speak, out there. And a lot of folks, you're absolutely right, are just not aware of that. So how do we get the artists that are out there, the makeup artists, the fashion styling folks, the hair people, how do we get them more involved and in tuned with what's really happening in the industry, in the real industry? Any advice?
You know, one of the things that's really, really important is for people to step outside of their world in the salon. What they do in the salon and what you do when you're working behind the scenes are two completely different things. and you have to see them as different. What a woman needs when she's going to work every day, as far as her hair is concerned, is one thing. What a woman, how a woman wants to look when she goes to church is one thing. How a woman looks on the cover of a magazine and inside when you start putting all these fabulous clothes on them or something else. And the thing that I tell people is to begin by understanding the language of this business. Begin by reading the fashion magazines and not just looking at the hair. When you look at a fashion magazine, you've got to look at the hair, look at the makeup, look at the clothes, and look at the photography. You educate yourself by starting to understand that all of those elements together make a good picture, and if one of them is wrong, it doesn't work. And so when you look at the magazines, you got to look at Vogue, you got to look at Elle, you got to look at Glamour, you have to look at Essence, you got to look at W, and you also have to look at the European magazines and understand that you need to go back further than what happened last week on Britney Spears' music video. Because that does not give you a historical perspective. You've got to go 10 years back, 20 years back, so that when you get on a photo shoot with an editor and she says, oh, my God, let's see, I want to do a 70s spin on, a 70s spin on this model, but we want to bring her forward to the 21st century. What does that mean?
Right, exactly. You got to know what that actually means, what they're saying.
You got to know, that's right. You have to understand the influences of the 70s, the influences of the 60s, and, you know, what is meant by psychedelic and all of those kinds of things, because when you understand those things and you can reach back and pull some of those elements forward and add them to what's going on right now, that's the thing that separates you from everybody else.
Absolutely. Well, you, again, if you've just logged in and you're kind of catching us in the middle here, I'm Kerry Hines. You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, and our very special guest who's on the line is Crystal Wright. Again, Crystal Wright's book is called Hair, Makeup, and Fashion Style and Career Guide, and we're talking with Crystal. And again, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. I mean, we get questions all the time, and probably, and you kind of touched on a little bit, probably the biggest question is, what is the first step I take? I want to get a little bit deeper. This is from the professionals. I want to get more into the industry. I want to be, dealing with the videos, working for the videos. What should I do? What's the first thing I should do? And I want to say they should buy your book. But we'll,
well, I'll let you tell us, Kerry.
Okay, no problem. And again, you really do need to
pick
this book up.
But you're right, actually. Getting the book is a great first step. Because the book has, step by step, this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, the first thing that they need to do is they need to educate themselves about photography so that they know what they like and what they don't like. And the only way that you can do that, it's like you don't have to go take a photography class, but what you do have to do is start looking at the magazine so you start to recognize what kinds of photographers and what kind of photography you like. Because the next thing you have to do is you got to find photographers to work with.
Yes, exactly. Now, how difficult is that?
It's not that difficult because there are so many schools out there. I mean, if you're talking about New York, you've got the Art Institute, you've got... off the top of my head, there are two or three...
No, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're absolutely right. Here in New York, we have tons of wonderful places. But now, for some of our listeners who are probably logged in right now in Boise, Idaho...
Oh, it doesn't matter. That's the great thing.
Wow.
There are photography schools all over the place. There are... like standalone photography schools where that's all they teach, but also a lot of times the community colleges in your area have photography classes. There's, universities have photography classes, community colleges have photography classes, there are photography workshops. The thing to do is to go to the website, go to Google, put in photography schools plus whatever the city is that you're living in plus whatever the state is. And you will find photography schools. You simply go to the schools or you call the schools up and you ask them, first of all, do you have a system for setting up, for hooking up makeup and hair people and styling people with your photographers who are willing to work with the photographers to get pictures for their portfolios?
Mm.
Okay? if that doesn't work, go to the school. Don't forget, a school, you can just walk on anytime you want. Just walk on. You know, ask where the photography classes are held. Go there. Introduce yourself to the professor. Let them know, hey, I'm a hairstylist. I'm working on my portfolio because I want to do work in the entertainment industry, or I want to do work in advertising.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you had any photographers here who are people shooters. That's very important.
Mm.
You don't want to get hooked up with a photographer that's shooting cups and saucers. That's a still life photographer. You want a photographer that's shooting people and working on his or her book.
Mm-hmm.
Hook up with them. Let them know you want to build your portfolio. The thing to understand is that when you're working with a photographer, it's a collaboration. No money changes hands. You are not supposed to pay the photographer to take pictures. That's a big problem, particularly in the African-American community, where the hairstylists think that they have to go out and pay a photographer to take pictures. But in truth, in the entertainment industry, you go out and find a photographer, it's a collaboration. Everybody comes together with their skills to put something on film that they can put in their portfolios and go out and show to other people.
Beautifully said.
So it doesn't matter whether you're in Seattle or Idaho
or
Philadelphia, go to the internet, find the photography schools, go introduce yourself to the professor, introduce yourself to the photographers as they're coming out of classes.
You're born with a gift. If not then, then you get good at something along the way. And what you're good at, you don't take for granted. You don't betray it.
What if you do betray your gift?
Then you betray yourself.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hinds.
All right, it's Friday, October 20th of 2023. I'm Keri Hinds. It's great to have you with us as we kind of dig on into the weekend. I want to bring to the line my co-star, Mr. Michael Hopkins. You guys know him. He hosts the Vet Talk radio show Tuesday mornings from 8:30 to 9 right here on our network. It is my great honor, again, to welcome Michael Hopkins. Again,
oh, yeah.
Happy mid-show, Michael. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Happy mid-show. And it's Friday fan day. Hoorah.
Yes. All the above. Okay. So really lots of good stuff to get into today. I'm super excited about it. I want to kind of just let folks know what's happening. In the next hour, we have a special guest, Mark David Carter, joining us between 8 and 9 Eastern. You don't want to miss that. He'll be with us live to talk about his new upcoming event. Also, there's a big announcement with regards to Hair Radio and the event, so you don't want to miss that. And so much more to get into today. So I want to talk a little bit about our different platforms, Michael. A lot of folks don't realize what we do here what you can hear and where and how we can help you and your business. So we need to kind of lay that out so it's crystal clear. And we're going to do that this morning. Yeah, so lots of really good stuff. This playback this morning to start off the show, I think we led off with a music song that I've never played this artist on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's unlikely you would have ever heard her being played on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But it's a great message in her song, which has a lot to do with being single. And it's called I Can Buy Myself Flowers. So in some of the lyrics, she can hold her own hand, the lady was saying. And the artist, you'll never guess who it is, Michael. I'll kind of give you a hint. She is the daughter of a legendary country music artist who sang about his achy, breaky heart back in the day. That's all I'm going to say.
Ooh.
A country music artist who used to sing about his achy, breaky heart, who had a recent return to the top of the chart with a young rapper who literally just changed, his whole world just recently changed. So I better go in and let you know, Michael. You're going to say,
could it be Miley Cyrus?
Whoa, how did you guess that, Hoskins?
Oh, no, that was kind of easy. That was a popular song back then for her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's right. You nailed it, Hopkins. You really, I'm shocked you got that one. I didn't even think you got the dad, let alone Miley. That is correct. You got us, Michael Hopkins, as always.
Uh-oh.
That was Miley Cyrus singing the song I Can Buy Myself Flowers. Actually, it's a nice song. And I just thought of, just to put on something different on this Fan Day Friday. You guys have said you want us to put on some different types of songs, and that was about as different as we can get here.
Very much so.
Yeah, but it was still a good song. So take a listen and play it back on the show after we wrap at 9. This is the live version of the broadcast today, so you're part of that experience if you tuned in right now. Now, speaking of after we wrap at 9 o'clock, Michael Hopkins, after we wrap at 9 o'clock Eastern Time today, I'm super excited. You know, as we say, when you wake up in the morning, this is really the place to be. Once the show ends and we go off, then it's time to switch over to a different platform. So we have two platforms every day. We have our Blog Talk platform, which airs our 3-hour 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern show of the Hair Radio Morning Show live. So you have to get up early to be a part of that taping, which airs live throughout the world from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. And then at 9 o'clock live Eastern Time or 8 o'clock Central, then it's time to switch over to a different platform, our own. So you go to, over to AfroLockMagazine.com. Let me get it straight. Go to www.AfroLockMagazine.com. There you can read about AfroLock Magazine, of course, and subscribe to the magazine. But more importantly, at the very top of the website at AfroLockMagazine.com, you can play our podcast, our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week network. It plays all the time. It's playing right now. So coming up a little before 8 or around 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to give you some of the updates on what is playing over there right now and for the rest of the day. So you don't want to miss that update coming up about 8 o'clock. And then we have the guest joining us today as well. So we're super excited. Mr. Mark David Carter, again, gentleman out of Chicago who's on a big hair show live right here in Brooklyn, New York. So let's be clear about that, and we'll get you all the details. He'll be here live. So is that not a lineup, Michael Hopkins?
Yes, it is, Carrie Hine. It is a lineup.
So what are you excited to hear?
Wow. Uh-oh. I got choices and options, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Wow.
You know, we have, I'm excited for Mark to come back. He's been on the show not that long ago, and he'll give us some more updates on his event, and I'm super excited.
Oh, yeah. I kept trying to remember, and I think I was asking you about this. I was trying to remember exactly where he was from. I thought it was Philadelphia. Maybe it's Maryland. Maybe I should ask that question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think I'll ask that question.
Well, he lives in Chicago now, so you got to make sure you ask him where he's originally from. Because
wow.
He's out in Chicago, so that
Windy City, Terry.
And he's doing a show in New York, so
wow,
you may want to draw that.
Definitely the Windy City,
Chicago, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, really good stuff today. I'm super excited. Next week we have a full set lineup of guests. We really do. It's one of our. I think it's going to be a special week. We're bringing back a lot of folks who've been with us, and it's been a while. I think it's been over a year since Miss Millie from Upscale Magazine. Yes, our friends at Upscale will be back right here on our show. That's huge, folks.
Oh, yes, it is,
so,
Carrie. That is very huge with Miss Millie showing up. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
She'll actually be live. So this is Wednesday, October 25th. She'll be on about 8 o'clock in the morning. So our special guest.
Oh, can't wait.
So it's going to be really, really good. Yeah, she's a barrel of fun. We just appreciate her daughter.
Oh, yeah. She really is.
Yeah. So I would not suggest to miss that because we have a lot to cover on that show about our working with Upscale, how it all works, and we have some announcements on that end. So
oh, that's going to be great. That is going to be great.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that. And then, of course, next Friday, so we got Wednesday with Miss Millie, and Friday we've got the return of the former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey, Mr. Wayne Smith.
He's one of my favorites also.
Yeah,
I love talking to Wayne Smith.
Yeah, and I think we also have the return of one of our wonderful voiceover persons. You guys know her from Hair Hit Heart, and we're talking, of course, Mary Reed Johnson. So she should be back on some arena next week. So we've got a superstar lineup, and that's what it's all about at the radio.
Mary Reed Johnson. Oh, yes. She's another one of my favorites. I love the pieces that she has done for the show, especially there was a couple of them. There was one where she did with Dr. King. What was that,
that was a very good one on 10 things I think you should know about Dr. King. I think we can get that on.
And you know, there was another one too, Carrie. There was another one that was a very good piece too.
What's that?
The one about you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very good piece.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting piece. Yeah, it really was. We'll see what we can work out, folks. I'm happy to get some on from, some of our recent pieces. Speaking of which, as I said yesterday, this is the time of year that we start to look back and see what, kind of analyze things and kind of celebrate the holidays. So coming up, we have special things we're working on for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for our New Year's Eve, for our look back special, for our look ahead special. We got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. So, very much so.
Yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun. But, yeah, we got a great show. I'm so excited about all this. And, again, coming up a little after 8 o'clock this morning, Mr. Mark David Carter returns to the broadcast, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And also, we have so much going on this Fan Day Friday in Brooklyn, New York. It is a little bit rainy on this October 20th morning of 2023.
Oh.
It's a little, yes, it's really a little rainy up here in the Brooklyn, New York area. What about you down there?
Wow,
beautiful,
okay.
Spotsylvania.
Beautiful Spotsylvania. It's a lot. It's cloudy right now. It's no rain. It's just cloudy. You know, normally the sun would be out, birds singing, and all that good stuff. But it is cloudy today, and it's a little chilly. So I'll definitely be wearing a jacket today. That's a definite.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, the weather is starting to kind of, the temp is kind of dropping a little bit. We have been missing the sunshine in the Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll kind of keep an eye on that. Hey, just lots of things going on in the world. We wanted to take a moment to acknowledge all of this. From the Hair Radio Morning Show, we just want you to know we send our thoughts and prayers to so many innocent lives caught up in the turmoil that's happening overseas. And we're just going to pray and do our best and for all of those folks and the military folks who are involved in this conflict, helping to alleviate this and just restore civility.
Very much so, Carrie.
So listen, you know, we're going to keep our eyes on things. We will send our prayers and our thoughts and all of that. Why don't we go ahead and take our break? And Michael, when we come back, let's kind of talk a little bit as well about not just Afrolock Magazine, the Salon TV Network, and what's coming up today, what's playing after 9 o'clock over at Afrolock Magazine Radio stuff. So we're going to tell you all about it. You don't want to move a muscle, and we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. We've got a lot more to get to this morning. Right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Problem is that folk don't know what they got until it's gone. They don't know what it is that you bring to their life until you exit. They don't know how much you be saving them, just spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the amount of pressure that you relieve from them and from their life from simply being there, picking up the slack, answering the calls, doing this and doing that. They don't understand that until you stop. And the moment that you stop and you let life go ahead and hit them, then all of a sudden, here they come. They running you down. They calling you. They texting you. They trying to do everything up under the sun to finesse their way back into your life. Here they go with their sweet voice. Now they sending you the little crazy text messages trying to remind you of how things used to be. I don't care. I don't care. And I don't care. I'm out the door now. I'm outside. I get what y'all say. I'm outside with it. I don't want what I used to want no more. I don't want to be there no more. I'm no longer interested. Your access is denied.
That I have profited more from the negative as opposed to the positive.
Really?
Yes, because...
Negative experiences?
Yes, absolutely. I really relish and treasure them more than positive, because if I have been able to survive it and reach another level, that has given me more growth, more strength, more confidence.
Yes.
It has enriched my life more, and that's why I treasure them.
You wake up and your house is a mess and you decide to clean up your house and doing it makes you feel better. That's a win. You need a pen, a Sharpie, and some post-it notes. Every time I do a live for you guys, for me, that's a win. Because honestly, I get very critical of myself and I just have to like put it aside. So I then take it off of here and I go put it up on my wall. where I can see it. Every win you have, you put it on a post-it note and start creating your wall of wins so that you can see what you're accomplishing, so you can see what you're getting done, so you can stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start patting yourself on the back and giving yourself a reward for what you are getting done. Otherwise, you get to the end of the day and you feel like, I just didn't do anything. Because if you've been depressed for 3 days and you get up one day and you decide to make breakfast for your family, that's a win. And you need to be able to see your wins, because your wins will inspire you to keep on winning. Your wins will inspire you to stop beating yourself up about what you're not getting done and start focusing on what you are getting done, because everything starts to align and you start doing more. My Stewie says, go to bed with a plan, wake up with a purpose. And I always say, don't put more than 3 things that you want to accomplish the next day. And as you accomplish them, write them down and put them on your wall of wins. So that when a client says no on a job, or you call and they said they're going to send you a check and you check your mail 2 days later and you still don't have the check, but what did you accomplish? What did you get done?
Michael Hopkins and Nicole Marie, I am so excited about this. I really am. This is, again, the conclusion today of 21 Skills That Will Pay You Forever. And I love this. Michael, let's lead in with you on this, right? What, when you hear of this that Nicole Marie has put together with all of the skills, that will pay you forever. But what kind of goes through your mind, Michael?
These are life skills that will transcend, as it says. I mean, these things will pay you forever. And a lot of these are skills that we have, but we take them for granted.
Exactly. Good point, Michael. All right. Well, Nicole Marie, I am so excited. You have done a splendid job on getting us to this final presentation on the 21 skills that will pay you forever. What would you like
I'm
to
so
share
excited.
With everybody?
I'm just so excited about these skills. Just like Michael said, these are life skills. If you get these down, they will definitely pay you forever and just be just so worthwhile in your daily life. So I'm just loving this. I'm loving it.
Well, I know that we covered numbers 1 through 14, but if you could, you guys, give everybody a reminder on those first 14 that we covered. And then we're on to the last 7. Take
we
it
sure
away.
Are.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carrie. And Michael, if you would, review the first 7 for us of these 21 skills.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start at 14. I'm going to work my way back. Number 14, the ability to do.
Michael, I'm going to kill you on that.
At number 1 is the ability to sell and negotiate. And I love this because I think this is so key. If you're an entrepreneur and you're actually, you know, selling products and so forth, that's very important to be able to sell and negotiate. But to me, most importantly, you have to be able to sell yourself and be able to negotiate for yourself. I think that's key for me.
Michael, anything?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that is great. I look at it like this. We all sell. We all negotiate. From when we're little kids. Little kids know how to negotiate. They do it all. They do it naturally. So it's something that's ingrained in us. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of twisting and turning to get it out of us. But, yeah, the ability to do that, yeah, that's important. What about you, Carrie?
Well, I look at it this way. Your business success is predicated on your ability to sell and negotiate.
Right.
Every single transaction or interaction as a business owner is predicated on how good you are at that, for lack of a better way to say that. So really interesting. Okay. I like that. Okay, yeah,
wonderful.
As you guys said. Awesome.
Our next top skill, number two, is the ability to convey what you think and feel. And that is critical because
No
one is a mind reader. And the workers that you may have as an entrepreneur, customers that you have, you need to be able to communicate. And they need to know how you think, how you feel, and vice versa. You need to know how they think and how they feel to make operations run smoothly.
Wow.
Michael, what do you think about that?
Wow. Yes. I mean, that is 100. It sort of reminds me of Picasso or a great artist and they're painting a picture. And that picture can convey some type of feeling. That's what this reminds me of. And little kids, they do this all the time, too. They do it all the time. Mommy, I want a bottle. They may not say it if they can't talk, but you understand what they're saying. You know how they feel.
Well, here's what I say. It says the ability to convey what you think and feel. So to me, that means that the better you are at articulating what you want, will almost with certainty get you what you ask for.
Yes.
Very much so.
So true.
Very much so. Yeah, that. Yeah, Carrie. I mean, that is, yes, that articulate. Very much so.
It's about articulation, I think. And that's what I always say. For us, we're in radio. We're in broadcasting. We're in communication. So it's important for us to be able to get our thoughts across to our fans, to our audience, to our listeners. And so that ability, yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it, conveying what you think and feel clearly. Okay, good stuff.
Awesome.
Right.
Moving on to number three is the ability to break a process down into smaller steps. And this is so very important, especially if you're working with a team or even if it's just you. You still need to be able to break it down because no one can do everything at one time. If you break your steps down and if you're communicating how you're breaking those steps down, is easy to follow, especially if you're working with a team. So your team is not confused. They know exactly what to do because it's small steps, not just, hey, okay, here, do this. And it's, you know, too much for them. But if you break it down into smaller steps, do this. Once that's completed, you move on to the next step. And you just keep it going. And I think it's easier to follow and to go through the process with the smaller steps. How do you feel about that, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that definitely works. This reminds me so much of the military. That's how the military operates. You you break things down into step by step. We used to say, like, step number one, do this. Step number two, do that. Step number three, do, and we would break it down so that when it was time for us to do everything, we would know what to do. It would be boom, 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 end result. So, yeah, it works for me. What about you, Carrie?
Well, as you were talking, I was just thinking the first, when I was just thinking about this and to hear it, which is the ability to break a process down into smaller steps. The better you are at communicating what those smaller steps are, the more effective your communication is going to be, your outcome that you are looking for. And for me, immediately I was thinking about, like Mike Owen, you do on the Vet Talk radio show, where you are literally doing this exact thing where you are taking processes that may or may not be familiar to the veterans, and you literally are outlining them and further breaking down the steps that they need to follow in order to have these claims processed successfully. And that's what goes into my mind. And so I think the better off, the better that you are at getting those points across, what can I say?
Oh, yeah.
The more successful you'll be. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There you go. Great, great stuff.
Love that. All right. Moving on. The number four in our top skills is the ability to shut up, listen, and learn from others. And this is so very, very important because no one knows everything, especially if you're working with a team or a business partner, whatever the case may be. You don't know everything, and it's so key to have different ideas, opinions on whatever it is that you're working with. But if you don't have that open mind, and if you don't be quiet and actually listen and be receptive to learning from others, you're going to miss it. And you can gain so much by listening to someone else and learning from someone else.
Have
what do you,
you
think
ever
about
known
that,
anybody
Michael?
Who didn't listen really well?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh,
I've had a couple of bosses in the past that have been like that. It's just like, okay, do what I say do. No, we need to do this, need to do that. But they weren't open and receptive to hear from the team of workers.
You know, it is important, right? But, I understand that completely. But it seems, I don't know, Michael, what about you? Nicole was just asking, how do you feel about that? Ability to shut up, listen, and learn from others.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I know works. Because sometimes you can learn from even the lowest person on the totem pole.
Exactly.
You can learn from them just by not talking, by asking. Don't talk, just watch and observe, and you can learn. You really can. Because you'll be in situations, you know, I always revert military. We've been in situations like that where we have the lowest private, the person is of no rank, but they come up with a great idea. All the generals and the colonel, all these people have all these grandiose ideas. But the guy actually out there in the field comes up with a very simple idea that makes sense. So this one, oh, yeah, that ability to shut up, listen, and learn from others, oh, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Love it.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's easier said than done, though. Ideally, yes. You know, you would think that it's kind of something that you don't need to say to folks. But in actuality, it is a skill set that you have to learn. We have to learn to listen. And some of us are better at it than others. But it's a skill that I'm still striving to learn effectively. I think it's important. It's what's weird for me being in radio. I know exactly when to turn it on really at super high strength. So when I'm doing interviews or I've got to pay attention because we're about to do something that I think the listeners need to know, then I'm turning that, you know, I've got bionic hearing. Move over, Jamie Summers and Steve
Uh-oh.
Austin. When it comes to that, because I'm keyed in, you know, on whatever it is that I'm about to say or need to say, but I'm listening first. Listening. I'm paying super attention because it's very difficult to learn if you're talking.
Exactly.
Very much so.
Very difficult to learn.
So true. So true.
Now, you
All
may be
right.
able to teach by talking, but listening and talking is very difficult to do simultaneously. Good stuff, Nicole Marie.
Yeah,
wow.
It is. I'm loving this.
Great.
Now, number five is the ability to adapt, improvise, and overcome obstacles.
Mm.
Now, this is so very important to me because things change, and sometimes you don't know when things are going to change. So you have to be flexible. You have to be willing to be able to adapt and possibly do something different, improvise, and then be able to overcome whatever that obstacle or those obstacles are. So you have to be willing to do that because you never know when change may come. What you may think, oh, this sounds great, this is going to work, but then guess what? You may have a snafu and it doesn't work just the way you want it to work. So you may have to change it up a little bit and improvise and do something else. So you need to have that flexibility to be able to do that. Michael, how do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. This one is a very important one, and this is one that I have learned to do over the years. This is just something I've just learned to do. Just to think rather quickly and say, okay, if we can't do it this way, if we can't go to the left, well, I guess we'll just be going to the right. You know, fast, quick, and in a hurry. That's what I've learned to do with using this ability. What about you, Carrie?
Yeah, I think along the same line, it's all about being able to change, to be open to change if necessary. You may have to change course. So being able to adapt very quickly is only going to serve you well. You may have to improvise. There are things that are not always going to be laid out for you. These are things that you have to take in stride. And above all else, you have to continue to overcome any obstacles. That's got to be your way to move forward. And again, that's adapting and improvising and working to overcome any obstacles that you find in your path.
So true.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like
that too. All right. Number six on our top skills list is the ability to read, understand, and memorize. Sometimes the key points that we need to know is in the fine print, so you definitely have to read. Can't skim through. Read For me, I read everything. Sometimes I have to read it more than one time to make sure that I understand it, understand what is being said. And then if I have questions, I go back and, you know, go back and I read it again to make sure that I fully understand what is being said. And then also sometimes we have to memorize things, important situations where we may be speaking to people, making a presentation and so forth. We have to memorize the information.
And
so I think that's
their
key.
Names, right?
Exactly, exactly. People that you're speaking with, of course. Michael, how do you feel about this?
Well, I feel that this is a very important skill. And it's a skill that I learn to work on every day. Because
exactly.
It's just something I know is important. So every day I'm reading things, and I read it till I understand it because of by me being an accredited claims agent, that's part of my job. I have memos. I have all kinds of rules, regulations, and I have to read them, and I read constantly, and I memorize it. I've had people say, well, boy, I wish I was good as you to remember all these forms. The only reason why I remember them because I look at them every day or every other day, and I read the stuff over and over and over and over and over. You do that 4 or 5 years, you too will begin to remember a whole lot of stuff. What about you, Carrie?
Absolutely. I think that the better you are at reading and comprehension and being able to commit those things to memory that you've seen or read, the more effective you're going to be at whatever your task is. I have always been a person, when I was in school, very high reading comprehension, in very, very high percentile for those who did that testing and all that stuff, because it was very important to me to be able to read well and to understand what it was that I read. And so I always, plus it was my favorite, was reading comprehension. And to this day, I love to read, you know, whatever it is, and kind of figure out what their intent was with the piece that they've written. And I still act on those, I still find the same thing actionable today. So good stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
Great. All right. Number 7 is the ability to walk away. Now, this one is critical for me because no matter what the situation is, whether it's personal situation, whether it's business situation, sometimes we just have to walk away. It may not be the best situation for us, and we have to know when to walk away, when something is not in our best interest. So that's very, very important, very important. Michael, what do you think?
Wow, sort of reminds me of that old Kenny Rogers song, Know When to Hold 'em and Know When to Fold 'em. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
The
gambling you're talking about.
Very
yeah.
much so, Carrie. What about you, Carrie?
Well, I look at it this way. The ability to walk away, we've got to be conscious of whatever it is that's not serving us well.
Exactly.
And even if it starts out and it's seemingly okay, there are times when things change. And we have to be cognizant of that. And we have to always have our best interests front and center.
Exactly.
And if that's not the case, and we're noticing things that are contrary to what we, you know, believe and what we feel is the right thing, for us to do, then it's time to hit the road. And in the words of one of those other songs, hit the road, Jack.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Okay. I've got to say, Nicole Marie Michael Hopkins, for me, these are important skills that that will really pay you forever, truly.
If I agree.
Master them. That's the key. You can't just know these skills exist. You've got to master them. So we will
Very
be continuing
so.
On this journey.
Yes.
Great job, Nicole Marie. Great
yes.
job, Michael
Thank
Hopkins.
You.
Awesome.
I love
awesome
this
today.
List.
So do
yes.
I. Awesome. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off. 18, and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life. To become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no. I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am the soul that lives within.
What'd she do to her hair?
I don't know, it looks crazy. I like it. Might do that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
hey,
I am not my hair. I am not this skin. I am not your expectations, no. Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh, on national television, diamond eyes are sparkling, bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Carrie.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago, and we have 8 arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change, and then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute. But when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into, but one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that. I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw it, and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything. You really do. And you outline it there. You put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical reference. And then my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection of artifacts and things that, you know, that document the African-American experience or the African experience, I guess, if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into or through black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved, because I understand that you're from Canada, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, what
so
happened is I ended up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada, and left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America. Long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb, pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life. That really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day, and
how old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that
point. Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
so what is the chaplain, for those of us who don't know? Obviously, we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys. Is not there to take, but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it, and so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived 6 coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine when I was 25 years of age when this happened. And my first year, my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me!" And so it was earning their respect, but I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. It's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world. So I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. It was a BBC series, a man from Great Britain. And then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to the, especially the Chicagoland area. And I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima. And I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it, I'd ask all kinds of questions, and he let me ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009, and I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So
wow.
That kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection, and Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection. The impact it had is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice. And plus, they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library have done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff. Also, Secret Service, 4 years in a row, FBI. Just fascinating stuff that
wow.
has emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors. And I find that especially when I'm speaking about diversity or Black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection and exhibit before I speak, you know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head. And so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called whitemansstory.com. That white man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw in your video or somewhere where it even had like the shackles, if you will,
for like that some of the slaves may have you know, worn or what have you, in addition to so many other different things. What are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana at the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica. And I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me. And I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shekels they have available, and for them to do that, I just feel so respected by these the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica. And so the other pieces, I've tried to do, Carrie, is to develop kind of a more of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross that no man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view. And because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America. In fact, there's well over 3 million that right now that speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa, and many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is. I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish, so that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the Old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew, just outside of Lima, Peru. And it's just an astonishing thing. And then also what I've tried to do with the collection is I tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific and nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it and the creativity of people who have been under the boot of slavery and the trade. And, you know,
and what have you found
Jim Crow
for the most
laws.
Part? Right.
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the Black Code laws, and the depression where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer, because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we begin to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, you know, man, I think I've got problems. You know, I mean, here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and an inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, you know, hey, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud, you know, if people really knew what I was all about. That's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big, my ears are too small, my hair is not enough. You know, all that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that, to me, is I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say you have to go to blackhistorycollection.com and do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract, her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the internet? I guess I should ask.
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
if I were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now, just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless, because where could you find one? You know, someone might say, well, I've got everything. No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. You know?
No, that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah or, you know, you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who I just
we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share, just putting it out there, and it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, well, you know what, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So, yeah, so I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Is it still, are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else. And or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right. But
it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that
yes,
that's clear, Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book,
mm-hmm.
especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27. And while we were researching this, we had people tell us, "You're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African-American men, you just put it in a book, right?" That's what they're telling us.
Oh, I
and they said, you're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever, other means and methodologies to reach your target audience. But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you,
which is a horrible stereotype all in it, you know, unto itself.
It is. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging message we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is you can imagine on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book, and who are you, and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview and brought some of us from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours, some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age. Knowing remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, that question changed the tone. Because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence. That all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression, to just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy while I'm moving from one part to the next, never to be revisited. But a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the doorway, the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it just had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are a let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy. In Great Britain, just the sound of your speech. If you're from Yorkshire or Scotland and you're talking with someone who's from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago now. And I was speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment. And I talked about the grieving process. And there was a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me a story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment, when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules were somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. And he was no more than about 6, 7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there. And he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit, and he said they met at a restaurant, and he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he said, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Carrie, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, you know, I began to pray. I began to talk to God. I said, I never want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize and repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. And I'm Carrie Hines, right here on the All-Known Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day. Friday morning, it's October 20th, 2023. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines, and just been enjoying the broadcast along with all of you guys on some of the playbacks here on the show, and just great stuff we had on Dr. Freeman, as you guys know. Let me bring back to the line Michael Hopkins. Michael is the host of the Vet Talk radio show. He's an accredited claims agent out of the state of VA, which is Virginia. Michael Hopkins, can you hear me down there? Michael, are you there?
Very much so, Carrie Hines. Just winding
awesome.
It down. Very much so.
Yeah, we're kind of winding it down this week. Speaking of which, Michael, I've enjoyed the whole week. Today was wonderful.
Yeah.
Every day's been great. You know, we've had some great standouts this week. We really have.
And as always, I really enjoyed it. I really did. That talk was great this week on Tuesday, if you recall.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, we're just moving along. I think we wrapped up a special series on that talk.
Very much so, Carrie. And we definitely wrapped it up, and it was the significance of rateable secondary claims. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. The third in a series. And I would encourage all, like we always say, you don't have to be a veteran. You could be someone that advocates for veterans. I would encourage you to go back and listen to the show.
Yeah,
that's
even going back and listening. You can, we tend to share the shows on our Facebook page. So if you already follow us on Facebook, you can kind of scan through and send through sorts of that, and you'll see some of the individual shows from the different days that we post there on Facebook. However, if you want to be a little bit more precise to retrieve the show and play it back, you can simply go to Google. Everybody knows how to Google. And simply put in five words. Michael, do you have any idea what those five words are?
Wow. The Hair Radio Morning Show.
You got it. Put in those five words and all of our shows will pop up. It's so easy.
Oh.
And today is show number 910 on this Friday morning, again, October 20th of 2023. So, yeah, it's very, very simple and easy. Now, speaking of which, just to kind of lay things out clearly, on a different platform, you guys know that our live show, which is what you're listening to now, is from 6 in the morning till 9 Eastern time, and that's on Blog Talk Radio. Then at 9 o'clock, we switch over to a different platform, which is our own, at AfroLock Magazine. com, and that's AFROLOCK, AfroLockMagazine.com. And so over there, we play a 24-hour streaming radio network called AfroLock Radio or AfroLock Podcast. So, and the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week broadcast is playing right now. So just wanted to make sure that was really clear. So I'm super excited, Michael, and I hope you get a chance to listen over there because at 9 o'clock, we're playing episode 794. So we're going back about 100 episodes or so to an episode that we think you wanted to, that you'll like. Then at about noon, maybe about 12:20 or so this afternoon, we have the second interview from Ms. Camille Friend, who is the wonderful lady behind she's the lead hairstylist on all the Wakanda movies and Black Panther movies and all of that. So really good stuff. And the Little Mermaid,
oh, yeah.
Her recent movie. That comes up today at about 12:15 or so. And then Mary Reed Johnson, one of your favorite Michaels, she'll be on at about 1 o'clock today, Eastern time, with the 10 things you should know. So that comes up about 1. And then at 1:30, we got Dr. Ragland back. Well, this is an old clip of Dr. Ragland, so I think you're going to love it. And at 3 o'clock, we have an episode number 799 from 2022. So you're going to love that, too. And then coming up at about 6:30, we have episode number 830. From earlier this year in 2023. So we have a full lineup today. You don't want to miss it. So simply go to www.afrolockmagazine.com to hear the 24-hour radio network playing. It's right at the top of the website, so you can't miss it. Just click on the arrow. So how does that sound for a lineup today, Michael?
It sounds like a plan to me, Carrie Hines.
Yeah. Now, that's our 24-hour streaming network. We'll be back here live for this three-hour blog talk show on Tuesday. So we're off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday from this live 6 to 9 a.m. show. But while we're gone, again, go over to AfroLockMagazine.com and listen to the 24-hour streaming network. I think you're going to like it.
Oh, yes. Very much so, Carrie. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to it.
Any favorite moments this week, Michael?
Oh, yes, definitely. One of my favorite moments, believe it or not, was today. And just listening, hearing Eugene Davis and also Crystal Wright. They were two of my favorites today. Very much
so. Yeah, Crystal Wright. Yeah, me too. I love listening back to Eugene Davis. Eugene, hairstylist, he was with us on a regular basis for a little bit on Thursdays, and he would always come in and do something called Conversations with Hair. It was always exciting, and we always had a great time. One of my favorite moments with Eugene, Michael Hopkins, Otto, we did a special Father's Day show that was really great. And it started, I remember the taping, we started out kind of light, and then all of a sudden it took a very heavy turn, and it was so memorable. It's still one of my favorite tapings of all time.
Oh, yes, very
really
much
is.
So.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know, Karen,
one
of the things I love about Crystal Wright was it was just her story and how
she's
the energy.
Real and down to earth as you can get.
Yeah. you know, it's just she hops on a plane, and next thing you know, I'm out of here. I'm not working for who I used to work with. I remember as IBM. I'm going the way it's warm.
Yeah.
I mean, how much realer? If that's a sense word, and that be.
Realer than that. Now, Crystal moved to L.A., right? That was over 10 years ago we did that interview. That interview is at least about maybe 11 years or something like that. Now, scan to current times. Crystal writes for our AfroLock magazine as of today in 2023. So 10 years later, she's working with us, writing for our magazine, and a regular contributor to Hair Radio. And so she's also a little tidbit to Washington. I never told you guys.
Wow.
So I hope he doesn't mind us sharing that little tidbit. But, yes, yeah, she's back up in Washington. She also travels abroad quite often. She's just – I love her information. I love her energy. She's just – I've always loved Crystal, yeah. Gotta have to say, just a wonderful lady. So, yeah, great choices, Michael. I think it was a fantastic week of episodes.
We started this week
at about show number 908. We ended this week at show 910. We have only 90 shows before we cross the 1,000 mark and then start counting beyond. So it is really just going to be incredible. 90 shows. We're kicking them, you know, checking them off. We really are.
Oh yeah.
It's hard to believe that we've
already
done 10 shows since we hit the 900 mark.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem that way.
We added 30 more hours of content. We added 30 more hours of radio content.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Isn't that something?
It is. That's something else. And I just can't wait till we do our thing in July of 2024. And, Carrie, what would that be?
Well, we're doing quite a few things. We're going to be hitting the 1,000 mark, but we should be hitting that maybe earlier than July.
Right.
But we're going to be celebrating with the cruise so I'm really excited. A big cruise down to the Bahamas. So we'll keep you informed of that. In fact, we'll talk about it next week right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, big things. We just let you know what's happening on the wonderful 24-hour streaming network. And then on the 3-hour live 6 to 9 a.m. show next week, again, just to remind everybody, we have some amazing guests. On Wednesday, Upscale Magazine is with us. And on Friday, we have the incomparable Wayne Smith, former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey, political contributor, business official, just everything that's out there. So that's next week live. And then over the weekend, we'll also be working on our Salon TV network. We're going to incorporate some great and different content and things like that that you guys are going to love. You can get the Salon TV network by contacting us. Again, we license you to have that, and you'll be able to run commercials on there, which are seen by all the licensees. So much to do at Hair Radio, and so much to be part of. So, Michael, I've had a great week. Again, just want to say thank you. I loved our digital diary that we did this morning, which kind of did a quick run-through of what was happening on the broadcast today. We are also just a big thanks to our fans. You guys helped to keep us here, and it is amazing sponsors like Rugged Evolution Beard Care and so many others, FixYourFeet.com and so many others, that without you, we really would not be able to broadcast. So thank you. And we need you. So support us. We're a small black business just like you. So please help us to stay on the air and continue what we're doing and helping so many folks out there, from entrepreneurs to everybody who's interested in hair, beauty, and the C word, Michael, community.
Wow, so Carrie, really good you just touched on it, Carrie. And it's just, and you're right. You know, we're a small black business, and we need your help out here, guys. We really do. And if you have someone new to our show and they're a business person and they want to expand on their business, they want to reach a lot of people, and get in contact with us. That's all I
have. I love it. Michael has hit it. You just nailed it. That is correct. Remember, we have so many things going on. If you do not have a subscription to Afrolock Magazine, get one. Simply go to AfroLockMagazine.com. Again, that's AFROLOCK, AfroLockMagazine.com. You'll see not only can you play the radio at the top, but also move down a bit, you can get your subscription to Afrolock Magazine. We're working now, just also a quick update on our holiday issue. So we've collapsed the October issue into a big 3-issue publication that we're putting out for the holidays. So that will all be out point in the next month. And it's just going to be ginormous. It's a ginormous big holiday issue.
Oh, yes.
So
I'm looking
at the forward
to it.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. So, Michael, again, thank you so much. Next week we have some new folks joining us live on the air. We have a wonderful lady who is an entrepreneur, and she comes to us out of the state of Georgia. And so you'll get a chance to meet her. I'm super excited about bringing her on air and introducing her to you. She'll be a contributor to hair care and so much more. So lots of stuff, Michael. Lie ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much. And, of course, we're shouting out Nicole Marie, who's our wonderful co-host, and we'll see her along with all of you guys back here on Tuesday. Michael, I want to go ahead and get the outro. Any last words?
Oh, yes, Carrie. It is all about the vets, their families, their advocates, and anyone that just wants to help a veteran.
All right. Well, we love it. And here is Ophelia. We'll see you back.